Yes, we do need a 21st century Glass-Steagall legislation. And I would tell you also that when you have three out of the four largest banks in America today, bigger than they were, significantly bigger than when we bailed them out because they were too big to fail, I think if Teddy Roosevelt were alive today, a good Republican, by the way, what he would say is break them up. They are too powerful economically. They are too powerful politically. And that is what I believe and many economists believe. Time to break them up.
Bernie Sanders last night during the debate with Hillary Clinton there in New Hampshire. He does not like this Wall Street. He does not. We've got Scott Martin sitting in today as Ro Khan is taking the day off, chief market strategist from United Advisors, also Fox News contributor. He doesn't like Wall Street, and he makes it's like they compete to see who likes Wall Street the least.
Who can deliver the most Wall Street slams in a particular sentence, it seems like. I mean, the guy almost sounds like he wants to shut down Wall Street, mm-hmm. right? Listen, I think there's some believability in what he's saying, and there's some possible execution of what the plan could be. But one thing he doesn't understand is that when you break up banks like that, when you put a bunch of regulations on them or things like that, you've got that's cost. I mean, you've got a penalty on the consumer. I mean, you know it from going through the financial crisis. Costs on us and you and me went up after the banking crisis and the bailouts because mm-hmm. all of the regulations, all of the taxes on the banks. So it's not like it's a victimless crime mm-hmm. when the banks all of a sudden get broken up and put into line.
I think he's just saying that he wants to take a bigger piece of the tax pie out off of the guys on Wall Street. Let's bring Susie Sunshine into the debate here, into the talk. We always talk with her. She is the official financial analyst for the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Susan Schmidt from Westwood Financial. Hey, Susan, how you doing?
Thank you. Hey.
Did you watch any of the debate last night? Do you think that people are just dreadfully afraid of a Sanders presidency on Wall Street? Are the big banks?
I don't think Wall Street doesn't factor Sanders in as a potential for them. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I think that Wall Street listens to that, and Wall Street is so used to being bashed during elections that it largely goes unnoticed at mm-hmm. this point. We've heard a lot of that. There's been off and on over the last 6 years. We've heard a lot of rhetoric against the big banks, and it is problematic. It's very difficult in the way we've structured things post recession to break the big banks up. And, we're kind of backtracking on some of the structure we put in place coming out of the recession to prevent any further problems. So it's nice rhetoric. It sounds good on a campaign, but I'm not, I don't think Wall Street's taking it seriously, and I'm not that worried.
Well, that's interesting because the financial sector has been a disaster for some years now. I mean, it's been probably one of the tougher sectors to invest in, as you know, Susan, for the last few years, vis-a-vis other sectors like healthcare and utilities or technology. So I wonder if that's signification of something else going on besides the presidential stuff within the financial sector as far as how bad the performance has been. What do you think?
Well, right now, you've had an interest rate environment that hasn't been favorable to banks. So remember that banks make their money on an interest rate spread. So they need to have a difference between the interest rate, which is largely determined by the Fed, right, and that to what they're paying customers. So if the Fed has their interest rate at 0.25%, 0.25%, then that's why there's 0% on your savings account, and the bank is dealing in a very thin margin. If we go back a decade and interest rates were at 4%, 3%, then suddenly there's interest coming on your savings account, mm-hmm. and banks can make loans at 4, 5, 6% and make money on that spread. So I think the problem with banks is there's been a fear. There is some change in regulation going on in the industry, and because of that, we've seen some concern, I think, about the banks, people moving in and out in terms of the markets. So I don't know that it's so much a function of the banks, but I do think it's very much a function of the environment they have to operate in.
I Googled stock markets. I'm like, let's just see what's happened with the market today. And you see you see that picture of the trader with his head in his hands, and he's like looking up toward the Lord above, praying to somebody. And they always use that picture of that trader, the video that runs. It's a terrible day again today. You've been coming on every Friday telling us about volatility, telling us not to worry. This tech sell-off kind of worried me today because I like tech. I feel like it's the future. And it's not doing well.
No, tech is not doing well today. And one of the reasons that it's not doing well is suddenly now we've had a couple of big names come out in tech, and they haven't done well. Their earnings have not met expectations, and so there's been a concern. And tech is generally associated with growthier names, and growth has been really leading the market. So there are growth stocks and there are value stocks. Value stocks tend to make a lot of money and don't necessarily grow earnings year over year, as much as growth companies, obviously by their name, they grow earnings year to year, or they're this great concept and they're about to make money, and when they do, their earnings will grow exponentially. So what we saw today was the first whiff of concern in growth stocks. We've been waiting for sort of a swing from growth investing to value investing, which you should typically see about this time in the recovery cycle. It's very unusual that we haven't seen it yet. And so this might be the first glimmer that investors are coming out of growth, sort of risk off, and moving back into, all right, where are the cash flowing companies? Because maybe growth isn't going to be as possible as we thought it was. Maybe I just want that, you know, steady earnings stream.
Susan, interested to get your take on the jobs report that came out this morning. That's the monthly jobs report. Comes out the first Friday of every month, as you know. And 151,000 jobs created last month for January. And slow economic growth numbers in the last, say, 60 days. I mean, is the economy slowing down? Is this data finally catching up with what stocks are telling us?
Well, I don't think 151,000 in January is a bad number. So remember that December, you get a lot of temporary hirings because of the seasonal issue with the holidays and Christmas. So 151,000, it's an okay number. It's fine. It's not great. It could have been a little bit better. Interestingly, the positives underlying that, unemployment went down to 4.9%. We saw an increase in the labor participation rate, and that's important because we feel like we have people sitting on the sidelines. We want to get them back and engaged in the workforce. And then also important, average hourly earnings went up. So they were up, and it's 2.5% year over year. That's a good sign. We want to see that earnings expansion because then we know that, you know, man on the street consumer is starting to feel better about their income. They're seeing it in their paycheck. And the work week is still strong. That didn't decline at all. So we want to make sure that the, you know, the hours are there to be employed, and we want to see the wages going up a little bit. And I think we saw those things.
So what do you tell us, the investor, who, you know, is, I got to say, it is, there's been so much volatility that it is a little bit uncomfortable. I know my mom tends to do what you say not to do, which is check her statement every day, sometimes every hour, and like just, or, you know, go online or whatever and check how she's doing. But the volatility is a little bit scary right now. You wonder how this is all going to shake out.
It is unquestionably a more volatile market, and the moves have been larger. We are just not accustomed to seeing an up 2%, down 2% consistently.
Right.
And that's what we've had right from the get-go this year. And again, volatility is you know, my word for the first 6 months of the year. I don't think that changes. We are going to continue to see that. We have oil that is moving all over the place. And so you've got this very, if you've heard me talk about this, Anna, I talk about it as a very emotional commodity. As oil moves, so does the U.S. dollar, so does the S&P. And all of those things are flowing together until we see some settling down. And crude has been fluctuating quite a bit. So it's, you know, had a range of, you know, up 4%, up 8%, down 4%, down 10%. It's really been moving quite a bit. And when you have that kind of fluctuation, that's what's bringing this volatility that's carrying through to the rest of the market. For investors, as I said, just think back. Remember that we've talked about volatility. This isn't something new. You've already been living with it for a couple of weeks. And hopefully your investments are meant to be long-term, and you're going to ride it out. It's really not something that you can time to your advantage. And at some point, there will be a reversal. You want to make sure you're in the market for that reversal. So look to the long term. I would say always stay focused on high quality companies. You know, we at Westwood really appreciate companies that make money and have cash flow. Mm-hmm. And those are the companies that can stand through this kind of volatility and come out on the other side without a problem.
But aren't those some of the ones that haven't done so well in the last few years? Like, those people have been kind of punished for being sensible, I guess you could say.
They have been punished for being sensible. But remember that over time, it's more fun to be, I guess, irresponsible in the short term. But over time, it's good to be so sensible. So it's much better to be, I think, sensible value investors. Typically, when we talked about that, value investing does work over longer periods of time, and the studies will show that's a great way to, you know, out-earn the market. Now, what's interesting is the worst performers of 2015 mm-hmm. were actually the best performers for the first 4 weeks in January.
Ooh, is that a trend, do you think? Do you think we'll start seeing a little more of that?
There is a January effect where we see a catch-up, and the stocks that really lagged then tend to charge ahead in January in the first few weeks. So I do think that, you know, that's a pattern that we've seen. But it is interesting that we're starting to see this rotation, whereas growth has really been leading. Today we're starting to see a rotation back to value. We're starting to see people move. What we've really seen also, and how I think this underlies the volatile market and fear, is that you've seen utilities and REITs, so both yield areas, right? Those are yield sectors to be in. Mm-hmm. So if you can't get your interest rate, you want to go for your dividend yield. Those are the two highest dividend yield areas to be in. And those have both been exceptionally strong and are the leading sectors so far year to date. Interestingly, to Scott's point, healthcare has not done that well. And so healthcare, we've seen quite a few lagging stocks within healthcare these days, because I think so many people used it as a safe haven. And with all the politics going on, healthcare can be a tricky thing.
Mm-hmm. Susan, where are interest rates going? I mean, I'm thinking about refining my house, maybe getting that car loan. Do you think rates are going to hang out at these lows again? Or do you think with the Fed back in the game that rates might tick up, you know, in result of them hiking rates in December?
Right. Well, now remember that when they do tick up, we really are only expecting the Fed to increase rates 25 bips at a time. So that's a quarter of a percent. And in the grand scheme of things, with, you know, rates are at their all-time low, so anything from here, you're still able to finance your house at a very low level. And that's always a good thing. The Fed has quite a bit of room to move before you would feel a big crunch on mortgages and people looking at homes. So we do think that the Fed is probably going to put another rate increase in this year, and we expect them to move. Right now, based on more of the international issues and the volatility in the market, we would be, you know, I think the market is looking at this interest rate hike in March is less and less likely. And so, you know, we think that the interest rate increase, when it comes, is going to be in the back half of the year, and we're going to see some better economic numbers before that.
All right, Susan Schmidt, always good to talk with you. I just like the sound of your voice. It's so nice and pleasant.
It's calming.
We've had some bad, rough days talking to Susan, and it just sounds good when delivered from you. So
everything. Well, thank you. Thank you. Everything is okay. Just sit tight. We'll get through this.
Thanks, Susan. We'll talk to you again next Friday. Susan Schmidt from Westwood Financial, the official financial analyst for The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.